It wasn't the best weather in the world. Cold and windy with poor visibility. An exceptionally bleak January day, even for England. The American crews had already been sitting on the landing strips for some time when the tall Englishman approached. He was still not quite awake. Behind the group, a shape rose halfway to its feet and waved to him. The Englishman waved back, yawning loudly. Functioning in daytime was difficult after such a long period with nothing but night raids. It was going to be a long day. At the far end of the airfield, the planes were taxiing slowly toward the southern end of the landing strips. Soon, the air would be full of them. The feeling was both exhilarating and oppressive. The orders regarding the mission came from Major General Lewis H. Brereton's office in Sunning Hill Park. He was requesting British assistance from Sir Arthur Harris, Marshal in the Royal Air Force. The Americans were still impressed by the British Mosquitoes' discovery during their November nighttime bombing of Berlin of the Germans' most closely guarded secret, the V-1 missile sites at Zemplin. The choice of British personnel had been left to Group Captain Hadley Jones, who entrusted the practical work to his next in command, Wing Commander John Wood. The latter's task was to select 12 British flight crews. 8 of them were to function as instructors, and 4 as supporting crews with special photo reconnaissance duties under the 8th and 9th American Air Forces. 2-seater P-51D Mustang fighters had been equipped for this task with radar and sensitive optical instruments. Only 2 weeks had passed since James Teasdale and Brian Young had been chosen as the first crew to try out this equipment under so-called normal conditions. In short, they could expect to go into action again. The raid was planned for the 11th of January 1944. The targets were the airplane factories at Oschersleben, Braunschweig, Magdeburg and Halberstadt. Both men had protested about having their Christmas leave curtailed. They were still suffering from combat fatigue. 2 weeks to figure out this bloody machine, Brian shook his head. I don't know a thing about all those gadgets. Why doesn't Uncle Sam do his own dirty work? John Wood was standing with his back to them both, bowed over the document files. Because Uncle Sam wants you. That's no argument, is it? You'll live up to the Americans' expectations and come out alive. Is that a guarantee? Yes. Say something, James. Brian turned toward his friend. James fingered his silk scarf and shrugged. Brian sat down heavily. It was hopeless. They had to go. The entire operation was calculated to take a good 6 hours. A total of about 650 four-engine bombers from the 8th American Air Force were to bomb airplane factories, escorted by the P-51 long-distance fighters. Brian and James were to break away from the other P-51s during the attack. During the past couple of months, there had been persistent rumours of an increased influx of building craftsmen, engineers and highly specialised technicians, as well as hordes of Polish and Soviet slave labourers, into the region of Lauenstein, south of Dresden. Intelligence had learned that some kind of construction was going on in the area, but not what kind. They had a hunch it might be factories for producing synthetic fuel. If this were the case, it would be a dangerous development that could lend impetus to new German V-bomb projects. Brian and James's job, therefore, was to thoroughly photograph and map out the area, including the railway network around Dresden, so intelligence could update its information. After completing their mission, they were to rejoin the formation on its way back to England. Many of the Americans who were to take part in the raid were already seasoned air warriors. Despite the cold and the impending takeoff, they were lying half-stretched out on the uneven, frost-bitten earth some people called a landing strip. Most of them were chatting away as though they were on their way to a dance or relaxing at home on the family sofa. Here and there a few sat hugging their knees, staring dully into space. These were the new and inexperienced airmen who had not yet learned how to forget their dreams and control their anxiety. The Englishman strode between the sitting figures toward his partner, who lay stretched out on the ground with his arms behind his head. Brian gave a start when he felt the gentle kick in his side. Snowflakes drifted above them, settling on nose and brow as the sky became more and more overcast. This expedition would differ very little from one of their night raids.